This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thank you so much for listening today. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Is it fair to label McNabb and Embiid as the faces of losing in Philadelphia? Up to 52.7% say no, whereas 47.3% say yes. But I can tell you.
How many? Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, on those voting,
yes.
Who do you think is carrying the no vote? Because you put them together.
Yeah, Embiid. No. McNabb.
There's probably more people who don't believe Donovan should be labeled a loser.
Yes.
And there's more Embiid people.
But I do think the McNabb thing is pretty interesting in that I think if you put people on the lie detector test, they would still have the same bad feeling maybe in their gut about Donovan, but know in their heads they shouldn't anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
And I think this, I'm telling you, I think the Super Bowl wins have taken a little bit away from that.
And he has been very pro Jalen, which I think helps him as well, you know. And you can thank this show, you know, you guys having him on for help re-ingratiating Donovan into Eagles culture.
Yep.
But I can tell you, if we took a Twitter poll right now and said, how many people want to hear the High Hopes Jackie baseball report, 100% would say yes.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie baseball report. Jackie baseball.
58% maybe.
Come on, man. 2 days until opening day.
Yes.
So, Spike, you had your first fantasy draft in a long time last night. How do you think that went?
I don't know, really. So what I did was, because I couldn't be here, I did order my 300 players, 1 to 300, and
like the commitment,
and set it on auto. But you can still only do as well, you know, when it's going, you know, best possible all the time. You can only do as well as the auto does. How do you think I did?
Well, you drafted a lot of injured players.
Yes. Like, well, that's the process guy in me.
You have six guys that are going to miss the first, you know, the beginning of the year.
Yep.
A pretty bold strategy there, Cotton.
Well, you can't, there's nothing I could do to set it to not take players who were injured in the first week. And I didn't want to pass up on somebody like Mookie Betts or somebody.
Yeah, as long as there aren't severe injuries.
No. Hey, man, you got Acuna and Betts, hopefully. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Good start.
It's a marathon.
Gunner.
Gunnar Henderson was my keeper.
Yep.
I do want to say that everyone, this is going to sound like me again, Seltzer's got to grow up. Angelina's got to grow up.
Here we go.
Well, Angelina runs the league, and everyone could have up to two keepers.
Right.
You know, you had to give up a draft pick to keep your keeper. And he said, Angelina said, the rule was everyone has to get their keepers in by noon on Tuesday.
Right.
So Seltzer did not, Seltzer did not get his keeper in by noon on Tuesday.
I believe you are right on that.
Nothing worse than a guy not following the rules.
Well, because he's going to blame the schedule. He's going to say, I'm tired. I was napping.
We're all tired. Everybody's tired. We're all tired. We're all doing stuff. If you want to be in the fantasy league, that's the rule. So here's where, okay, so first, James has to be a grown-up and get his keepers in and deal with the consequences. Angelina has to rule with an iron fist and say, you didn't get your keepers in, you don't get your keepers.
It's just C.J. Abrams.
Right.
It's not that big of a deal.
So the entire draft, because we could not set it the right way, everyone just had to be on don't take C.J. Abrams, don't take C.J. Abrams. Mine was on auto,
yes.
So it kept selecting him over and over again. And eventually I had to get a call from Angelina who said, look, you have C.J. Abrams, you know, can we get him over to Seltzer? And I said yes, and they made the switch without, I said, I am going to need an equal player in return.
Yeah.
So just Seltzer. If the deadline is noon, just look at your friggin' roster and decide who you want to keep.
No, it's more egomaniacs on the morning show. Yep. They're more important than everyone at the station.
Yeah, oh, we get up early.
Yeah,
well, you don't work during the day. You know what I mean?
You're done at 10.
You have the same schedule. You work the same number of hours as everybody else. You know?
Get your keepers in on time.
Get your keepers in on time.
Just ridiculous. Sorry.
And did you have the ability to do it over the weekend?
What, the...
Like, setting your keeper.
So, yes.
I'm just saying, so you didn't have to do it.
No.
Yeah, you didn't have to do it.
Yes, we had the whole weekend to decide on keepers.
First off, it was two players. It takes 30 seconds.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, I looked at my thing. I was like, Gunnar Henderson, Chris Sanchez. They were like, you don't actually have Chris Sanchez. And I said, okay, just Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
So we had to pause the draft every single time Spike auto-picked C.J. Abrams. It was excruciating.
Yeah.
Not that I was drafting and driving, but it was tough to...
And here's the other thing.
How many rounds?
Here's the other thing. I really want C.J.
Abrams. 25 rounds?
Yeah.
There's a lot of players.
That's a lot of drafting, man.
Yep.
Yeah, come on, man. We're locked in. I was sweating out the 25th round.
Yeah.
Well, I came home and both kids were screaming. And I was like, I need you guys to lock in. You know, daddy's got a fantasy draft.
Yeah. Well, and the worst part was because more players were picked than I expected, I took Carlos Estevez and I put him out of drafting range. And in the 25th round, of course, I get, because I didn't have enough players, I get Carlos Estevez.
Yeah, and you hate Carlos Estevez.
I think he sucks.
Yeah. How long did this take?
Probably a
couple hours.
And a half.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. I mean, I didn't get home till 8:15, and the draft was still going on.
Well, it's all timed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You got everything on. You got to make the picks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So the real High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. So does this sound like a two cuts here? One from Kevin Long and one from JT Realmuto about the offensive approach. Does it sound just like coach speak, or do you like how they're talking?
Kevin Long, Philly's hitting coach.
Philly's hitting coach. Here's Kevin Long.
I expect us to be, you know, a top five offense in all baseball, which we were last year and the year before and the year before. We just have to be consistent, and we have to show up every single game, and we have to have the attitude that, you know, we got to go out and get a championship. Nothing else is acceptable, and if we don't put together the at-bats that we're capable of, then we'll find ourselves going home, and that's not going to work.
That's coach speak. I don't like his voice at all. He sounds too much like Daryl Morey, first of all. Second of all,
that's a Hall of Famer, son.
He didn't say anything specifically about the approach. He just kept saying, we have to score and do the right thing.
Right.
No.
Well, he wanted you to know that they coach were speak. Number five hitting team in all of baseball.
For two straight years.
Yeah.
Years.
Saving his job there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you, Kevin.
I would imagine he did go into that office like, I know y'all want to make some changes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Number five.
Yeah, we've been the top five offense the last 2 years.
Look at me. Look at me. And then here's JT Realmuto when asked a similar question by John Clark.
Have there been adjustments in spring training working on anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think every spring training you come in with adjustments and goals that you want to work on. And that's certainly one of the goals for our team is to chase less and use the whole field, like Rob said. I think it's certainly easier said than done with the type of pitching nowadays, but it's something that we're going to continue to work on and continue to get better. We know that, you know, once you get to the postseason, putting the ball in play is king and not striking out, making the defense make plays. And so that's something we're going to work on all season.
See, I like that answer.
That's a good answer. I thought that was a good. He specifically addressed what everybody's thinking about. Kevin Long did not, I don't think, but JT did.
Yeah.
you know, his comment, and it is easier said than done. I agree with him on that one. I don't want to hear the nope with pitching these days. It's like, all right, okay.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Everyone throws 95 plus with big spin.
All right, great.
It's a little bit harder to go the other way.
All right, you want to give the guys the tar again, or do you want to, or not the tar? What do they put on their fingers?
The sticky stuff.
The sticky stuff.
Yeah, spider tack.
Spider tack.
You want that back?
You want that back?
I thought overall the JT answer at least.
Yes.
More and more guys sound like they're like, okay, we can't do the chase thing. And then hopefully it works. I think spring, again, they led the league in walks, and they led the Grapefruit League in runs scored. So
it's working.
Looking good, Spike. Yeah. Looking good.
Just do it during the regular season.
Who has more pressure on them heading into the season, Dombrowski or Thompson? Because I think it's Dombrowski. I know everyone will say Thompson because they think his job's quote-unquote on the line.
I do believe it's Thompson.
But with Thompson, I kind of get it. He's a player's manager. Mm-hmm. He's mostly going to be hands-off. Those guys got to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dombrowski put a lot of faith in some one-year guys. He brought in a closer on a one-year deal. He brought in a left fielder on a one-year deal. He traded for Jesus Luzardo, who's been hurt, you know, for a majority of his career 2 years ago, made 32 starts, was good.
Yeah.
And then the deadline, if they are in position again, is he going to just sit on his hands? Like, I team's good. Could be a World Series contender. How does he treat the deadline? Is he treating it like an all-in year, or is he treating it like a pause year? Like, I think there's Dombrowski's legacy here, because I could push back on what Spike says about has he done anything, yada, 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 for only so long. You know what I mean? Like, you have to re-update that.
Yeah.
And there should be a little bit more pressure on Dombrowski heading into the year rather than just Thompson.
Yeah, the problem with that is they're not going to fire Dave Dombrowski during the season.
No, his bullet is firing Thompson.
Yes.
In reality, the pressure is on Thompson.
Yes.
And the other thing that you could say about Dombrowski is if he couldn't spend any more money and nobody wanted Alec Bohm and they want to keep their
what
else is he supposed to do? Now, I think overall, if you look at this window, if we look back at it and say who was more responsible for them not winning a title, Rob Thompson or Dave Dombrowski, I at this point would point to Dombrowski.
Sure.
But I think this year, Jack, to your question, I agree with Ike in that the pressure's on Thompson more than Dombrowski this year. But as soon as he fires Thompson, the pressure immediately shifts to Dombrowski.
Totally agree.
That's the final bullet that general managers have.
So, and the details obviously matter. So say, for example, I meant when I brought up you're not going to fire Dombrowski in the middle of the season, my thought process there is, oh, if the team gets off to a slow start, what do you do? Well, the same way they ignited the 2022 season that led to the World Series. They fired Joe Girardi.
Yep.
In the middle of the season, and it led to a spark.
Do you think they could fire Thompson in the middle of the season?
It depends on the start.
Right, that was
a terrible start to the season. Like, yep. I think anything 10 games below 500, you get the May and June.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what it was for Girardi, though, right?
When seven, it, like, it was seven. Like,
huh?
It was seven.
No, I mean, what part? Was it June?
It was right before June.
Right?
It was right before June, yeah.
Okay.
That's May.
I think it's like May 3rd. But I think it was late May.
Late May, yeah.
And I think the first game was against the Angels on like June 1st.
Because remember, they wanted to wait till after San Francisco left because Gabe was here, and they didn't want to do it during that time.
Because Gabe was coming off 107 win season.
Yeah.
And they felt like they let Francona go.
So my only thing in saying that is I think at the end of the year, if things don't go well, they both
Thompson.
Could be gone. Like, they both could be gone if it's at the end of the year.
And
they don't make the playoffs
or whatever. Right. So he'll, yes, I think that's fair. 215-592-9494.
By the way, if that were to happen, I don't know how we're not saying something major has to happen.
Oh, come on. We'll melt down. You kidding me? Yeah. We'll get to your calls right after Ike tells you.
I got you.
To call him.
That's right. Call him. Well, could have called me today. I was around over here, right? Windows down. Sunroof day.
Oh, there it is.
Sunroof open, man, in my Acura MDX. Come on now. Talk to me. Now, Elite Acura's Spring Performance Sales Event is the perfect time to experience Acura's legendary performance and luxury. Right now, current Acura owners can lease the stunning new 2025 Acura MDX for only $529 per month, or you can get behind the wheel of the stylish and powerful new 2025 Acura RDX for just $429 per month. Now, my friends over at Elite Acura have over 150 new certified and pre pre-owned Acura vehicles in stock for you to choose from. I'm telling you, the spring offers, talking about their entire luxury lineup. And you know it won't last forever. I experienced the perfect blend of precision, crafted performance, cutting-edge technology, and sophisticated design over at Elite Acura. Make sure you visit them on Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Check them out online today at EliteAcura.com. And remember, nobody can compete with Elite.
Loyalty and conquest leases are 36 months, 10,000 miles. Not all will qualify. See dealer for full details. Offers end 4/30/25.
All right. Raji in Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Raj?
What up, Raj?
Hey, I'm good, man. You guys normally, I'm liking what you say, but I gotta press you on the Embiid thing. I agree with McNabb shouldn't be on it, but so let me ask you, who's the only MVP to not reach a conference finals?
Embiid.
In NBA history, yep. Andre Iguodala has the same playoff success as Joel Embiid on the Sixers, correct?
Different situation, but sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And which?
Hold on. He got to the same point. He doesn't have as much playoff success as Embiid has.
Sure. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that.
Yes.
Between Iguodala, Iverson, and Embiid, who's played with the most potential Hall of Famers and All Stars?
Iguodala.
we mean not here
on the Sixers.
Oh,
yeah, on the Sixers. Yeah,
potential Hall of Famers.
Well, Embiid.
Yeah, and All Stars, like All Star caliber players on the roster when he's on the Sixers. It was Embiid.
Okay.
AI only had Mutombo.
Yeah, AI had Mutombo and Iguodala, Drew Holiday, All Star.
Yeah, forgot about Drew. Yep.
I think it was just Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean. I don't think Joel Embiid is a I think the term loser is just more for me defined by playoff status and the expectations we have on a number one player. And, you know, I just wanted both your opinions. Like, I know the Hall of Fame has their criteria, so he's going to make it because you got a stat pad and whatever. But for your definition of a Hall of Fame, like mine for an NFL player or quarterback is you got to make it to a Super Bowl. For an NBA Hall of Fame qualifier, for me, is you got to at least reach a conference finals. So like a Lillard, Harden got to a finals and a conference finals.
He did not get to a finals. He got to a conference finals.
As a sixth man.
Yes. As a sixth man. Yes.
So he has more. They have more accomplished from a playoff standpoint
do you think Embiid would have gotten to a conference final if he was playing with KD in his fourth year?
Well, for sure, yeah, that's a point well taken. But Harden did take them to a conference finals on the Rockets as the number one option.
He did. You're right.
And as a number one option, Embiid just fails to do that, and that's why I term him as a loser in the scope of like being the expectation that we had for a number one option.
I think that's fair. I think there are, you know, and it's a good argument from you. I think you have to put the all-star players he played with in proper context, I think is fair. If one of them is Ben Simmons and the other one is 2 months of Jimmy Butler, you know, like, I guess.
Yeah, the continuity wasn't there.
Right. And you know, like, and he is responsible for some of that, but they never had the same team 2 years in a row, ever, his entire team here, his entire time here. And the injuries are, now that it's part of his legacy, but they're also not his fault. So I agree with a large part of what you said. I think labeling him a loser and him being the face of losing in Philadelphia is too far. I agree with everything you said, but I also think we've had enough bad times here and enough guys who also haven't succeeded. I understand you're saying it is versus expectations, but I also don't think that makes you the face of losing in Philadelphia.
I can agree with that. I just think that the playoff success for, you know, we harp on it all the time. The NFL quarterback and the NBA player have the most impact on their teams versus a baseball player. So I at least give McNabb credit for getting to a Super Bowl as opposed to Joel Embiid not even reaching a conference finals. But with that said, I also wanted to say, like, do you guys think that, you know, if a player like Embiid, you know, the other thing that bothers me about Embiid is like it's like the Maxi thing calling him out, the Olympic players calling him out on his work ethic. And I don't know if you know, like, how many players do you know that are like the number one option call out teammates when they lose, because he's had so many times where he just bails, just calls out other teammates. Ben Simmons for the Hawks game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's loser energy to me. I mean, you know, like, I don't see any Hall of Fame players do that. I don't see Kobe doing that. Kobe was hard to play with, but he's not doing that in public.
No.
The media.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron does.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it has multiple times.
Yes. Yeah, all-time winner.
And I think that comes into the loser kind of connotation. I'm not saying he's a loser with what you're saying, regular season wins, but like the expectation and the connotation. So that's
fair.
Okay, Raj. You got for next question, you got somebody with three names, somebody famous?
Yeah, I was going to go with another. I'm not going with MVSGA. I'll go with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Van Damme.
That is three.
And
we're good at counting here. Good points by Raj. Well reasoned argument from Raj. I understand what he's saying.
Yeah. It's, I'll continue to say, I feel for Embiid in this situation because I think when healthy, he's obviously a fantastic player, but he's unfairly going to have that attached to him. And I do believe it's somewhat unfair.
Yeah, I think face of losing is a pretty...
it's pretty strong.
I think it's a little extreme. That would be it. So, Jack, the top five at five. What is everyone looks forward to the top five at five every day. People set their alarms
for
it. Yes, except for us, because a lot of times it makes fun of us.
One of us, yeah.
Jack, what is the top five at five about today?
Well, we all love Paul Jolly, that's right.
Of course.
Oh, he's going to have a jolly?
Most insane jolly moments.
Wow.
In recent memory.
Is there a new one?
Moments?
There was a new moment from over the weekend.
Oh,
happened in Ike's seat.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. What the hell?
Was he wearing shorts? Did he have sandals on?
Oh, God.
Nah, you'll hear it.
Okay.
It wasn't like, you know, what Ike did in his
seat. Oh, man. Come on, man.
All right.
Well, that's what it certainly you implied.
No.
All right. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.